Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 8th, 2005. Today's session is entitled Church and Society in Namibia, presented by Pastor Vino Njimba of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Namibia.
Let me welcome everybody who participates or who listen to my speech. But first of all, before I start, I would like to apologize for my English. I think maybe it will be difficult to some of you, especially who have never heard me speaking. I'm not a good English speaker. You know, English is just my second language. I will introduce myself, and then I will talk a little bit about my church, and then about the society in Namibia. So at this occasion, everybody is welcome to ask his or her questions, anything about Namibia. Though maybe I think I don't know everything in Namibia. Well, I'm Vino from Namibia. Namibia is a state found in Southern Africa. If you know your map very well, you know where Africa is. You also know where Namibia is. But I will show you maybe at the end of the speech where Namibia is to be found. I'm from Namibia in the north, in the town called Ondangwa. And I was born at Epembe village. I live with my parents. We are born 8, 4 brothers and 4 sisters. I'm a pastor of about 10 months now. I was just ordained last year, 25th July. And I'm serving a big congregation, which has got about 5,800 members. Wow. So, but I'm from the Lutheran Church, which is called ELSIN. ELSIN stands for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Namibia. This church has got about 600,000 members. I'm talking of the ELSIN Church. And we do have 130 congregations. And we divide, or these congregations are divided into two parts. The eastern part and the western part. We call this Eastern Diocese and Western Diocese. Each diocese has got its bishop. So, on the Eastern Diocese, there is about 52 congregations. And in the Western Diocese, there is about 78 parishes. Well, these are the parishes found in ELSIN. The headquarter or the head office is found at Onipa, Ondangwa. For some of those who have been to Namibia, maybe some have made a turn to the ELSIN head office. I don't know. Let me say something about my congregation, the parish which I'm serving now. As I said, it's a parish with 5,800 members, and I'm only the pastor there, with just one deacon and my secretary. So, honestly speaking, the places of my parish are far from each other. So you have to walk 10 to 20 kilometers from one place to another. Or you have to walk 10 to 20 kilometers from the church. Or let me say in other words, people walk 10 to 20 kilometers to come to church. So, because of long distances, we try to cut the distance by having these 10 synagogues. This is to enable people to shorten their long distance. We have these small places, we call them synagogues, whereby those people who cannot reach to the church, they come and gather there for their worship service, especially Sunday worship services. So, even if I said there are many members, nowadays, maybe, I don't know, to other places or to your places where you come from, people are Christians, but not all of them like to come to church. Only a few of them. So, during the colonial time, when Namibia was under the South African colony, people used to come to church each and every Sunday. You see, the church is full to its capacity. But after independence, maybe everybody thinks he's free. No, maybe everybody doesn't need anything, I don't know. But still, some do come to church, more especially the women. Women, if you go to church, always women are the third majority. But for men, so I don't know. So now, how do I manage to lead this such big congregation? I visit these synagogues, and to visit this, I need to make maybe a monthly plan. I visit each place once a month. And I'm telling you, in order to go to those places, you must be prepared enough. Well, first of all, it's a long distance. Well, there are some congregants who have cars, some of them. Sometimes we use their cars, but to use their car, you need to put in petrol. So you must prepare enough money for petrol. It might happen that one place is just visited once a year. So it is really hard to work in such a big congregation, more especially that you don't have a car, the parish doesn't have a car. So you have to walk by foot. I use this. So I think if you have questions, maybe I'll give you just to ask. Then I leave that topic. Then I go to another one, the situation. The economic situation in the parish. You know, financially, the parish is very low. Due to the fact that most congregants do not have jobs. So it is really difficult to get money. And the money that we get is just from the congregants, which I said, most of them don't have jobs. Even if I said it's very low financially, we do have some development. And this development comes just because of some committee. We do have a committee called Stewardship Committee. Or this works hand in hand with the pastor to bring development, to develop the parish here and there. First of all, the parish did not have water, but as I'm talking now, we do have clean water. The parish did not have power, electricity. As I'm talking now, we do have electricity. The parish did not have a telephone. We only used to write, and then you send through the post, you write maybe after month, you know? But now, luckily, we do have telephones. We do have the parish house. It's well constructed. I will show you the pictures. Maybe I have them here. Unfortunately, we don't have computers, as most people use. I think everybody in USA is capable of using, computer. But we don't have a computer, such a big congregation. And when I was at the seminary, I was very, very much useful to the computer. I thought when I went back to the congregation, my parish would have a computer, but unfortunately we don't have. Some parishes do have. Coming to the other point, we try also how to develop the parish. Just before I left, before I come here, this committee, the stewardship committee, came together and discussed things which we think we might do in the next 5 years. So they brought some proposals. And these proposals were done to make it easy, or perhaps we can get, maybe they will become the source of getting some money. They propose to construct a building, and they propose that maybe this building, one side will be used as an assembly hall, and the other part will be used as a snack bar, something like that, whereby these cookies and cool drinks will be sold to get money. And they proposed also to construct another building, kind of a flat, whereby those people who will come to look for an accommodation will pay some money, and this money maybe will be used for the parish, to assist the parish. Unfortunately, as I'm talking now, we don't know how we'll get this money. Maybe we'll see. So that's how we try to brought up our parish. We do different projects to maintain the parish. Sometimes you might end up 2 to 3 months without a salary. So it is really hard. It needs somebody working very hard. Coming to other events and activities, for worshiping, we do have some choirs, like here. We have the youth choirs, women choirs. So, for me, I do have my own choir, which is called Komonyawanje Penduka, which means my soul pleasure. So these choirs used to sing, more especially on the Sunday worship service. It's very nice. When it comes to the issues facing our church and Namibia as a whole, first of all, I come to the point, poverty and unemployment. As I said earlier, most people in Namibia are poor. Most people in Namibia are unemployed. This is because Namibia has been under colonialism for many years, about, if I'm not mistaken, 25 years. So many people couldn't get enough or quality education. The other point, which is a burning issue in Namibia, is pandemic disease, HIV and AIDS. To tell the truth, much of Namibia's economy is used in to assist people who are living with HIV and AIDS. How do they use this money? They assist to get this, drugs that prolong the life, maybe retrovirus, what? I can't pronounce it. So this is really expensive, and there are many people. So many Namibians are affected and infected with HIV and AIDS. So as a result of HIV and AIDS, you find many Namibians are orphans. Children live without their parents, both of them. You go from house to house, only children. There are no parents. The government has tried to have some little allowance to help these kids for food and for education, just for the basic education, I mean, from grade 1 to grade 12. After school, so they stand by themselves, on themselves.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So, these kids that live in their houses, you don't put them in like in big buildings. They just stay in their house by themselves.
Yeah. You know, in Namibia, yeah. For those who have buildings, they can stay in the building. But we do have houses that are made of walls. Maybe. I must show you one of the pictures. So some are given to relative members just to take care of them, but they cannot afford. They also have their family. So that is how it works in Namibia. Or about the church, it is working together hand in hand with the government. The church is doing some counseling programs. We do have many projects and many organizations which try to teach people how to prevent themselves from this pandemic disease. We do have organizations like New Start, whereby people can go and go for pre-test counseling. And then after that, a person will go for HIV test. And then from there, if after testing, he or she must go again to collect his or her results. And then he get again the what we call counseling. They do also give this retrovirus to prolong the life for those people who are now that they are HIV positive. But I'm telling you, it is difficult for the Namibian people. Most of them, they are I don't know, they are very shy. Maybe this is because of this stigma. Let me use that term. There is a stigma. Once a person is realized that he or she is HIV positive, so then people maybe will look at him or her just like, I don't know, it's a sinner, something like that. So that this made many people to go and have the HIV and AIDS test. So, and most of the people who live, I mean, who have infected by HIV and AIDS are the young people, more especially from age 18 up to age 37, or from 18 to 40, approximately, I don't know really. But most are the youngest, I mean, young nation. And these are the people who are expected to develop the country. So, really, the country is really overwhelmed by this pandemic disease. Coming to another point, if you have a question, just hold on.
How many people do you think have HIV AIDS in your congregation? How many would you?
I can't tell really, but last time it was maybe in April, I don't know. We did have some investigations. So there were many people, only a few. You know, only you only know once you know, we do this program by, we train some counselors. We call them assistant deacons. They go in the village. They talk to the people, to the sick people. They counsel them. If people themselves told them, I'm HIV positive, they write their name, they bring them to the church, I mean, to us. So this helps us to know that most of the people are HIV AIDS. Unfortunately, I didn't bring along the statistics of last year, but if I'm not mistaken, Namibia is among those six African nations with affected with by HIV and AIDS. So I can't really figure out the number of people living with HIV AIDS, but there are many. But we only saw those who, I mean, sometimes you can see, yeah, this is really HIV, he has got an HIV. Sometimes one person can tell you, but most of them they can't. Some can only tell you once he or she has it, now he's serious sick. He called you as a pastor to go and counsel you. He asked for Holy Communion. But the time is over. Now it's telling you the time is over. He didn't say it before. Paulus. Yeah, maybe you will ask. I'm about to finish now. I'm about to finish now. Violence. Violence is in Namibia is very high. This is because maybe many people don't have job. I don't know. Some people, after just most of them, they fail grade. After failing grade 10, you know, after failing grade 10, there's no other way to improve. These are the results due to the fact that it's very costly, understand me, it's very costly. And I said many Namibians are unemployed. It's difficult enough for them to go and improve their results or their grades. So you find the violence in Namibia is very high. Each and every day you hear a person was stabbed to death. You hear a person was raped, those kind of things, you will find them most in Namibia. And we do have this violence against women and children, I don't know. Sometimes I can say this is because of alcohol abuse and drug abuse. Many people in Namibia, they abuse alcohol. They abuse drugs. So, but the policy, I mean, policy in Namibia, Namibia police is working hard to keep, I mean, to maintain peace and stability. So all these people who do criminal things, they have to be taken to the custody. So that is what I can say about Namibia. This is a chance open for you to ask questions.
Do you have a Lutheran church in this country that is a sister church?
I can say the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is a sister church to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Namibia. That's why I'm here today. They usually invite our church to participate in this program, this youth program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also the Lutheran Church in Namibia helps in this HIV and AIDS programs. Most of the projects, main assistance were from this church and from the government maybe as well.
But on the whole, is your nation at peace?
Yes, yeah, there's peace. Yeah, we have freedom. Really, we do have freedom. There's no war. The war, I can say, is just this violence. Yeah, that is what there is. But this is only to be found, more especially in the cities, in the town. So, but in the rural areas, you can't, okay, let me first come to this person. There was a hand here, then to Eddie.
Okay. You said that the Lutheran Church is working with the government, but are other denominations working with the government as well, or is it just the Lutheran Church? Do you know?
Excuse me?
Do you know if other denominations are working with the government as well, or is it just the Lutheran Church?
We do have this Catholic Church. It's also working together. Catholic Church is our sister church. We have Catholic, we have Anglican. These work hands in hand with, Lutheran Church.
Is the Lutheran Church the biggest one in Namibia?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I can say 95% are Christians, are Lutherans. Yeah.
Where did you get your training?
For the pastoral training.
For the ministry?
I was trained in the seminary in the capital city called Paulinum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and most Americans came to teach there. I can remember two lecturers, like Reverend Lou Bauer, mm-hmm, and his wife. I can also remember one lady, old woman called Dorothy. I don't know which city she came from. And another guy, Dorothy and another guy were just working in the library. While Lou, all the Bowers were my lecturers. Mm-hmm. Actually, the seminary only offer diplomas for 4 years. Nice. But starting from next year, I was just there, they say, they will start up with a bachelor, BH. Okay, from there, come there.
A church your size of members in the United States would probably have many secretaries and many pastors and many youth directors. We know a church that would maybe have 10 people working, just for all the baptisms, all the records, all the weddings, all the funerals. If you have HIV killing, I'm sure you have 200-300 people dying in your parish every year. Do you do all the funerals?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe I just missed the point there. In the parish, we do have some assistants. We call this lay preachers. And we do have some, as I said, We train some counselors. These lay preachers, sometimes they can conduct the service, Sunday worship service. Or sometimes they preach, and we train some of them, not all of them, because in the past I have 6 of them, if I'm not mistaken. And there are some who are assigned to conduct funeral services, because I can't do, you know, the parish is too big for me. And it is difficult to go from place to place. If, like for instance, just people die, I mean, 4 people die a day, and all of them, they need a funeral service. So I can't go to all of them. I have to choose one, and I have to present that somebody must go there on my behalf. So we do have some lay people who can assist. Like the deacon, she can do everything. She can conduct the service. She can conduct the funeral service. Things like that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
You started out by apologizing for your English. I think it's excellent. Where did you study your, where did you learn your language skills?
Actually, the official language in Namibia is English. Yeah, so the official language in Namibia is English.
That you attended before you went to seminary?
Just English. I was just taught in English, okay. Except for my vernacular. So.
Oh, it's a little bit different. But are you aware of like the Heifer Project or anything in your country? Do the people get any help from that? This is one that whereby they bring animals over to a village, for instance, and they're supposed to then share them, and as they grow, learn the process of agriculture or animal husbandry, whatever.
I don't know if I...
It's called heifer.
Are you asking if we do have some animals? Or you have? Are you asking if you do have some projects? All right. We do have many projects. Some people do have farms, big farms. I think some, maybe people from Germany, yeah, most of them, they do have big farms in Namibia. They grow cattle, they grow sheep, they grow goats, and many others. Yeah, we do have different projects. Yeah, but most people do live with just few, small farms.
This is what the Heifer Project is like for a little village, somebody, a goat or a pair of goats, and then as that expands, they share that with the next one and eventually create a herd of their own.
Yeah, they do assist each other. If I get your question right, they do assist each other. Like I said, if we do have people, maybe orphans, some good Samaritans can volunteer themselves to assist those people.
Have you ever heard of Lutheran Bible translators?
Lutheran Bible translators?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we do have. The Bible.
Do you ever see them?
Excuse me?
Do you meet them?
I don't know if I really get your answer. Your question very clearly.
Yes.
Are you asking if we do have some Bible translators to translate the Bible?
Do you ever see them or hear of them?
Who can assist me?
He's talking about organization. Bible translation.
Yeah, we do have Bible Society in Namibia. We do have such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's in your own language. Do you get translations? They have Bibles in your own language?
Yes, I do have. I just left mine in my room. Very big one. Yeah. I can read. I can tell you if I'm reading something here in English, I don't understand, and I don't understand it, I go to my Bible.
What is your language called?
My language is Ndonga, Shindonga. Yeah, I can say Ndonga or Shindonga. Yeah, my language is Ndonga. I mean Ndonga. But we speak many languages. There are many indigenous languages in Namibia. So I can speak Ndonga, I can speak Kwanyama, I can understand Kwambi, I can understand Kwaludi. There are many, indigenous languages. But most of them, we can understand each other, except people from Caprivi, that is difficult. And some also from, some members. I heard somebody from Denmark, he said he was in Namibia sometimes. Those people, I cannot understand them when they talk. Yeah. Did I answer your question? All right. Yes?
The 600,000 Lutherans you talked about, is that just ELCN, or is that also include the Southern Church, ELCRN? And
what I have talked about here is just about ELCN. As I said, with 130 congregations, uh-huh. That is ELCN.
Just ELCN. Yeah. And has there been any talk now about two churches coming
together? We really have a good, we work together with ELCN.
Yeah.
As I come here to USA, we came with two youth from ELCN.
Okay.
ELCN stands for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Republic of Namibia. But we do have that the seminary. We call it United United Lutheran Theological Seminary, because it includes ELCN and ELCN.
And are they going to stay two separate churches, or are they going to eventually become one?
We do have a problem now to unite them, but it's difficult. You know, what makes us to have two churches is because
the language,
but the ELCN is more related to the Rhenish people.
Yeah.
You know, when they came, they were on the southern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And when the missionaries came, they were more on the northern part. So that's why we are separated. But we are trying, there is a problem to unite us, but the problem is the language. Mm-hmm. That's the only problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another question? Yes.
How did the children learn about the faith? Do you have classes for the little children or confirmation classes for the teenagers?
Very good question. We do have this. Okay, let me tell you something. I've just experienced something when I come here. For our children, you know, we do this infant baptism. The child has to be baptized, and after she has grown up, maybe when she is 15 years old, she has to go in the confirmation class. But before that, while she grows up, she goes to the Sunday schools.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we teach them about their faith.
Okay.
We start from base until she can stand for him or herself. So, confirmation is for a person now to decide that the faith in which he or she was baptized now is confirmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Namibia, let me say in ELCN, we don't give. But don't ask me why. we don't give all communion to the children.
Mm-hmm.
If the child is not. If the person is not confirmed, he or she does not receive Holy Communion. You only receive it after confirmation. So we do have different groups whereby we teach our people. We have social events, we have retreats, like here you said, May Youth Weekend. the places where the kids can go or the certain group of youth can go and come together, discuss issues related to their life, and so on, and so on. Yes?
What do you hope to learn from your experience here at Holden and here in the United States as you return to your congregation?
Well, you know, I was just impressed by this group, which performed, was it a drama or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do also such kind of things. Mm-hmm. But I think this is very useful to me. And I think it gives more attention to the people. Once a person is more involved in sharing the faith or the gospel, then I think it will be helped. So I think I will learn a lot. So, you know, for these 3 weeks, I have been just working with the teacher. And from next week, maybe I will be working with these young teenagers. So, what I hope, I will learn a lot. What they do here, that I think I will take it back to Namibia. Yes?
What is happening in your congregation while you're in the United States? Is there someone that's taking your place, or how does that work?
As I said, I don't have the deacon. There is a deacon. I left the congregation in the hands of the deacon.
Okay.
But she said, oh, it's very hard to work for. I mean, it's difficult for her. Because before I came to the parish, she was also taking care of the parish. But it's really, really difficult. But we do have one of that pastor, so he can help in terms of baptism and Holy Communion, and sometimes funeral services. But we do have this, how we call them, the deaners, you know, the deans. So the dean is the one who's taking care of the old deanery. So maybe sometimes he can come and do whatever he can do.
Have you had many visitors from come to your parish from America?
Oh, yes. We have. Unfortunately, when I went to my parish, I only received some visitors from Finland. But that person has been in Namibia for many years. He was in Namibia for many years, and he left just 2003. When he came this year, he decided to come and visit my parish. You know, one day, one Sunday morning, I was just preparing to go to the service, and I heard my cell phone was calling, and he called me. I don't know where he got my cell phone number. So he decided to come and attend the worship service with me. And I was very, very, very proud to have him. So it was very good. So we do receive many visitors from USA, from Finland, from Germany, most of them. Yeah, only that maybe people like me, I'm very young, the people from overseas, they don't know me. Maybe my lecturers, one of the day they will come and visit me. Well, yes, next question.
How many people were in seminary when we were going to school with you?
Our seminary is not a very big seminary, it's very small. It accommodates enrolls only 50 students. This is due to the accommodation. 50 students. Maybe 10 from Elsin, and 20 from Elsin, 10 from Elsin, and some others, because we enroll also some students from other countries. We do have also some students who come to study there, who are not, who are not Lutheran. Huh?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do accommodate also everybody who wish to come and study. Like when I went there, there was a student from Botswana. from Nevada State. The next year, then also two from Botswana. We did have somebody from, we did have some people from Germany. They came to do some research there. They studied for a year or half, for half a year, something like that. Yes.
What percentage of the seminary students are women, and what percentage are men?
I can say 50-50. We do have women. Many more women are ordained in Namibia. I can say 50-50. Yeah, because sometimes we can have many women, sometimes men. But as I'm talking, we do have many women in the seminar study, to be theologians. I come to this one and next.
I know that other places in Africa, Christian ministry struggles over and against the old religions, the primal native religions that people had from the last millennium. Do you have any problems with that?
Do you mean, okay, can you please ask your question again?
Christianity and the native religion, I don't know what you'd call your native. Mm-hmm. Before Christian missionaries came.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying?
Tribal religion, animism, spirit.
Or are you saying before mission? I mean, before missionaries came?
Before Christianity.
Yeah, people there in Namibia, they have been worshiping God. Yeah, they have been worshiping God. Some people have written that the Namibian people, they did not know God. You know, there was a saying, they say, they worship God of cattle. And our president liked to say that. You know, in Namibia, we worship God of cattle. Kalunga kanagombe. But you know, they are talking the same God. Only that they worship their God according to their tradition, according to their culture. I don't know if I really answered your question.
So superstition.
Yeah.
Although
many Americans are superstitious about numbers, about signs. It's not a problem for mm-hmm. you people in your parish to be superstitious about how they got AIDS.
Mm-hmm. But that is not a problem.
Okay.
It's not a problem in Namibia. You know, last time I did have a conversation with Pastor Emily. We were talking about God our Father, you know? And then she said, no, I'm really disappointed when people just only talk about God the Father. That can also be a woman. We don't have such a problem. But we do have many churches also developing these days. I don't know how I call these churches, indigenous churches. They are developing now. I don't know. Yeah, but that's not the problem. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Is the size of your congregation typical? I mean, are there other Lutheran congregations, and are the sizes about the same? Or
yes. Okay. Good question. You know, if I'm talking about my congregation, my parish is in Group B. That means the congregations which are very big are those in Group A, whereby you find in just in one congregation 10,000 members. 10,000. You know, I just went to a workshop at Oshigambo. Maybe you might have heard of Oshigambo. Mm-hmm. It's a missionary where this missionary school can be found. You know, there are 10,000 members, and those, there are also others with more than 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 10,000. And those which are big, they are in Group A. And my group, my parish is in Group B, which is the second largest, congregation.
I heard somebody say that you will be sending missionaries to us pretty soon.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. But you know the, okay, before I...
Well, you can keep going.
Okay, yeah, you might ask.
Oh, okay. I don't know, this might be personal, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to find out how you decided to go into ministry and take on a congregation of that size, knowing it would be that complicated.
All right. You know, being a pastor, I mean, was my calling. I just felt like I must go to, I mean, to the theological, I mean, to study theology and become a pastor. You know, after completing my secondary education, I was a teacher for 2 years. And, you know, teaching as an unqualified teacher. And I just realized that, you know, I need to start building, becoming a pastor to help the people of God. You know, and being assigned in the congregation, this is the task of the, is it the church synod, or how do I call it? Church synod. Church synod, yes. They are the ones who assign us. Because before you go to the seminary, you have to apply. And then they have to approve your application. So it is their responsibility to assign you that this person can be in this parish. They look at your ability. Who is able to lead this parish? So, just the same as when I come here, they look at the people who can, able to represent our church from here. So they just point, they choose who they think is capable of doing this. Did I answer your question?
It's been 15 years now since independence, but do people still remember the war? And did you have family members who were affected by the war?
Yes.
I don't know how old you are. So.
Yes. People still remember. They still remember the war. You know, some, they are without their parents. They are without their relatives just because of the war. Some, they are without their sons, their daughters. They still remember this, and commemorate, or is it, am I right? Important days where in which the activities, events happened, like the Kasinga, whereby many Namibians, blind fighters, were killed. We do have the 26th of August, or it will come out ready to go home. So we do commemorate that one. That was the first day of when the SWAPO party started their first, how can I express this? Yeah, maybe you can understand. Yes, the last maybe.
You are the eldest son.
Oh, yes, I'm the oldest son.
Yeah. Now, have you set an example for your brothers and sisters? Will they follow you into the ministry?
Well, you know, the issue of being a pastor, sometimes it's a kind of a calling. You know, just to tell, most pastors in Namibia, they do have their daughters, their sons. But not all of them become pastors. Mm-hmm. But last Sunday, the last Sunday when I came here, we did have a wedding of a pastor, the daughter of a pastor. And it was wonderful. So, yeah, but to answer the question, I'm the elder, and my brother, my young brother, is. Because he couldn't make it from grade 10. You know, my parents, they don't have a job, all of them, they're just at home, just farmers. So he couldn't make it. It was lucky for him that he was admitted in Namibia Defense Force. He's a soldier. And the rest, some they go to school, some they're just at home. I don't know if they were able to
Did you have to pay for school, like the grade 1, 2?
Yes, you have to. You have to pay. And this is what makes it difficult for most people in Namibia. You know, if you fail, and if you want to, upgrade your grades, to improve your grades, you have to go to NAMCOL, Namibia College of Open Learning. They are telling you, you pay a lot of money. And if your parents don't have money, you stay home. So, just to add, the life is good to the Namibians whose parents have already, have jobs, because they can do everything for their kids, for their children. They can help them. So,
can you tell us what your Sabbath day is like? What your worship and your Sabbath day is like for you?
A Sabbath day?
Sunday, your worship service, how it's different?
Okay, maybe I can just talk about I think the Lutheran Church in America is just the same as our church. Mm-hmm. We do have this Christmas Day, in which Jesus was born. We do have the Sunday after the New Year. How do you call it? The Epiphany Sunday. We do have Epiphany. We do have the Easter week, the Easter Sunday. We do have the Trinity Sunday. Yeah, all of them we do. We do celebrate them.
I've heard your worship in many parts of Africa is much longer than ours.
Yeah. This is maybe just because the order of the liturgy is too long, maybe. And we do have many announcements. Everybody wants to say something everybody wants to sing. If you say, please wait next Sunday, then you disappoint the person. You just tolerate them. That's why maybe this is just the order of the service that makes it, longer. Yeah. There's nothing different, maybe, from here.
Thank you.